today in the Gregorian Rite, which we celebrate, even though it is Sunday, the 20th Sunday after Pentecost, nevertheless, we push that one aside a little bit. And the Feast of Tomorrow is celebrated as an external feast. And for us, it's very important because it is, in a sense, our feast. Our Lady of the Most Holy Rosary. Our Lady of the Rosary of Fatima. Who looks upon us and smiles upon us and blesses us and reminds us that we must, as she, follow Christ fully and completely. And so we see all the prophecies and the will of God that has existed from eternity take place. From the very beginning, in the mind of God, the Blessed Virgin Mary was conceived. Even before he created the universe, the physical universe, that is, even before he created Adam and Eve, even before he decreed, though he knew he would, that she would conceive in her womb and bear a son, and that his name would be called Jesus, the Savior of Israel, the Savior of mankind. And so we rejoice also in the letters from the Book of Wisdom. He who drinks me shall never be satisfied. He will want more. He shall still be thirsty. He who eats me shall never be satisfied. He will always be hungry. And that is the way it is. The more we have of Jesus and of the Father and of the Holy Spirit, the more we want. We can never get enough. That is why the more we celebrate the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the more we want. We can never get enough. It is oftentimes distressing to me, regardless of the fact, of course, of the distances and economics of things, which we have nothing to do with, but that many that could do not go to Mass every day. Because this is the most wonderful, most glorious, we cannot even possibly imagine it. The more we drink, the more thirsty we are. The more we eat of the most holy sacrament of the Eucharist, the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ, that also comes from Mary. The physical part of Jesus comes only from Mary. She is indeed the mother of fair love, the mother of holy hope. She is indeed Our Lady of the Eucharist. And so we see the angel appears to her. He had already appeared to her parents, the old couple, St. Joachim and St. Anne, whom everybody scorned because they were without children. And in Israel, that was seen as a curse. And even though separately, St. Joachim on retreat, St. Anne at home praying and reading the sacred scriptures. How much do you ever do that? Any of it? You know, we always ask for things from God, but what do we do about it? And so they received the visitation from the Archangel St. Gabriel, separately but simultaneously, that they would be the parents, even in this old age, of the one expected since the time of Adam and Eve, that would give birth to the Son of God, the Savior of Israel, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and all who would accept him and believe in him and follow him. He is the Savior for all. But for those who do not accept him and follow him and believe in him, it is nil. It is not true again, and we will repeat it again and again. It is not true that you can go to heaven any way that you want. There's only one way, and it is but in the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And anyone who says otherwise is committing the sin of heresy. So he announces to St. Joachim, to St. Anne, you will have a daughter. Whether he told them or not, some saints say he did, that she would be the Immaculate Conception, we don't know. And it's really not our business. But it stands to reason that the one who would bear in her son, the Son of God, could not have sin. She indeed must be the Immaculate Conception. And unlike Mary, who had to accept, they didn't have to accept anything. They were told, you're going to do this, and they did it. That was it. There was no acceptance here. They just rejoiced. What a great gift that the Mother of God, the second person of the Trinity, who would become man, would be born of their daughter. And then we have the Gospel of St. Luke here. And the Blessed Mother, she must have imagined it, not in pride. There was no ever any sin of pride in her. No sin, period. But she must have imagined it. She was not an idiot. What's going on here? What does God want with me? There must be something. And then the angel comes. She's just a young girl, 14, 15 years old, maybe even less. And he tells her, Hail, full of grace, sinless, caricatomene, full of grace. And because you are full of grace, the Lord is with thee. When we are in grace, the Lord is with us. When we are not in grace, the Lord is not anywhere near us. We reject him by sin, especially mortal sin. And we deserve only the fires of hell. You must not follow that. You must fight it. You must be in the state of sanctifying grace. Mary was always in grace. Hail, full of grace. And she had never heard this before. Nobody had ever said this to her. But she understood it. And the angel says, Do not be concerned. Fear not, Mary. Netimias, Maria. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bear a son. And he shall be called Jesus. And he shall be great, the Son of the Most High, the Son of God, Filius Altissimi Vocavitur. And God, in addition, that's on the spiritual side, on the physical, human side, he will give him the throne of David, his father. Now Mary was of the house of David, Joseph too, but it was more important for her, and she indeed was of the house of Mary. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Many kingdoms come and go. Things on earth come and go, but not the kingdom of God, not the church, which is the kingdom of God on earth, to which of no merit of our own we have been called. And the Blessed Mother asks a most wonderful question that should tell us everything. Como lo fia distut quodam virum non cognosco? How can this be? I do not know man. And I will not know man. She is perpetually a virgin. She and St. Joseph have vowed perpetual virginity to God for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of the coming of the Messiah. And the angel says to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Somebody's very excited back there. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And he that is born of thee shall be called the Son of the Most High. His power shall come upon thee. He shall be called the Son of God. And then, as a sort of extra proof that she didn't really need, but we needed, he says, your relative, Elizabeth, who was an old lady, she has conceived in her womb. Incredible. Unimaginable. Unbelievable. And therefore, she expects a child, a son. But for thee, the Son of Man shall be born of thee. Because nothing is impossible for God. And of course, when we meditate on the rosary, on the mysteries of the rosary, which is what we are doing today and hopefully every day, you know, we should have the rosary on our person always. Men in their pockets, women in their purses and in their hands. Not around like a collar or a necklace. It's not a necklace. It is not a necklace that is worldly and sacrilegious. We should pray it. We should have it in our beds with us and under our pillows. Oftentimes at night, when I have the rosary in my hand, sometimes I drop it in underneath the pillow. The cats come up and try to grab it because they love things that are long. And then they wake me up and I remember, oh, this is the rosary. I must remember to continue to pray it till I fall asleep again. Always have the rosary. St. Pius of Pietrelcina, Padre Pio, said, always had the rosary in his hand, except when he was saying Mass. But I'm sure he had it in his pocket, but not around his neck. It is not a talisman. It is not a rabbit's foot. It is a sacramental. After the Mass, the most powerful prayer. Say the rosary, as much of it as you can, every day. And beseech the Most Holy Mother of God, Mary Immaculate, to help you to go to heaven, to help you to abandon sin, to abandon concupiscence in every way, shape, and form, to help you to belong always to Christ. And so, Mary having heard all this, says, behold the handmaid of the Lord, ecce ancilla Domini, the slave of the Lord, the servant of the Lord. And that's from Mary, the holiest person after Christ. And what are we? We are nothing. Behold, the servant of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum. And this is how we begin the rosary, with the joyful mysteries. And she is part also of the sorrowful mysteries and of the glorious mysteries. And at the end of the rosary, we see that she is crowned Queen of the Universe. She is at the foot of Christ on the right hand of the Trinity, Queen of the Universe. There is no higher. Pray to her, beseech her, that when you die, after you have been through the fires of purgatory, which you shall, you may soon go to the glories of heaven. O most holy Lady of the Rosary, whom we love and whom we serve, be with us always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.